In February of 1998, Colin and I spent our usual extended sojourn camping at the mouth of the Putterow River. As usual, our conversation turned to the medium of electroacoustic music, to current dilemmas, and also to the lessons to be learned from previously completed works. For some reason, we decided to record our conversation as we prepared our evening meal in the tent, just a few metres back from the high tide mark. On returning home, I archived these recordings and got on with life. Now, 26 years later, having used this rediscovered material in my recently completed work, Songs of Love, I have undertaken an edited version of the 1998 dialogue, illustrated with excerpts from the works under discussion. At the time, I had just completed a new work entitled Say, and was still engrossed in various anomalies it had presented. This concern forms the major portion of the dialogue. The other works mentioned are In Watermelon Hours, From the Reason Why, Three Songs for Mezzo-Soprano and String Orchestra, 1967. I Saw His Round Mouths Crimson, from Dulce et Decorum Est Pro Patria Mori, for Orchestra, Mixed Chorus, Baritone and Magnetic Tape, 1978. Piano Piece, 1995. Signs in the Vicinity of Memories, from the mid-80s, On Listening In, 1993, Parade, 1983, The Quarter, 1997, Songs for the Little Lady, 1996, Sleep Exposure, 1979, Tense Test, 1986, and Rehab, 2004. There's also a short excerpt from Red Bird by the English composer Trevor Wishart. At this point in time, the building now housing the Studio 174 Acousmonium was yet to be built. Consequently, all of the works discussed, apart from Rehab, are stereophonic. Eventually, three of these works, Sleep Exposure, Songs for the Little Lady, and Say, were provided with accompanying visual images. Due to the extended duration of the dialogue, I've divided the material into three segments of relatively equal length. The first two employ illustrative examples. The third is solely dialogue. These documents can be dipped into randomly. They exist solely as archival information. However, for me, they also illustrate the passionate commitment and joy of our relationship. It's significant that the recording location is not a studio, but rather a tent beside the wild Tasman Sea. And the content of the dialogue is entirely unscripted.
It's going?
Yes.
Silencio. Right, so, Patrao, 1989. Oh, sorry. Yeah. 88. 98. February the
5th. Colin and I have embarked on some discussions about working processes and stuff, which is really interesting.
Sculpture works, the early, you know, conventional works, and then the development of the electroacoustic.
Mm.
Which do you think expresses clearer, most clearly, allows the most expression of yourself most clearly?
Oh, I don't think there's any difference between them. No.
No.
I think a work like.
It's just purely where you were at the time.
The Linda Quinnis settings.
Mm.
I think that's just absolutely pure me.
The songs.
Yeah, the songs. I think there's...
It's just to do with where you were at the time. You mean the difference?
Yeah, and the mode that I was using.
Mm. think that the electroacoustic medium, I think they're much more expressive of you than the
conventional music. Yeah.
Probably. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not you. I mean, they're no. What
well,
you mean.
I think probably.
But in terms of just the ideas and, you know, the things that you've been thinking about and doing, I don't think that you could ever have done it in a conventional mode.
No, probably not.
They would never have sounded.
No.
They would never have given you the language.
No. You're quite right. You're quite right. Absolutely right. In fact.
It would have produced trapped into a sort of a
conventional musical expression.
And it would never have taken flight in the same way.
No, absolutely right.
I mean, the Wilfred Owens, I mean, still a lovely work, and...
Yeah, but it's, yeah, well...
What one can remember of it, I've never heard it once.
And actually, listen to that sort of music and listen to the piano piece that I use in Say.
Mm.
It's exactly the same sort of material, you know.
Mm.
Thank you. yourself, the sort of things, the way your ears have gone,
yeah,
the things you're interested in. And if you just talk about, when you're talking about like the morphology of sound, and things, I mean, you just can't apply those principles to...
Well, you could, you can apply them. Some people do when they're working with conventional instruments.
But it becomes sort of, somehow or other, it just doesn't have the same...
No, it doesn't.
...opened-endedness, you know, I mean, it's sort of like...
Well, that's what I find quite interesting, because I think the electroacoustic medium suited that. It suited a sort of inward-looking, totally personalised way of working.
Because of the documentary aspect of it.
The whole thing, And now, I think that's where Say is really interesting.
Mm.
The whole business of, you know, how that work was started, you know, from the influence of that Sarajevo work, like discovering that work by accident.
Yes.
On a tape, I didn't know what was on it.
Yes.
And listening to it. And then
that's right.
Shit, you know, this person is just using any old thing that they come across. They're using musical instruments, they're using voices, they're using the sounds of things they've recorded in my face, and they're using overt transformations, and they're just sticking them all together.
Mm.
They're doing everything you're not supposed to do.
Mm.
And
the work still worked for you.
Yes, and I very much so, although it sagged after a while.
Yeah, it's got a sagging, isn't it?
Yes, and I just thought, well, and I mean, and the whole idea of, you know, and gaining an impulse for my own work from another work by somebody else
is
anathema to me.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And you know, I didn't think about it twice. I didn't even, I thought, oh, people, what passed through my mind? Because I thought, oh shit, because there's this recording of the underground in the Sarajevo work, you know.
Mm.
And I mean, immediately threw up the Russian recordings I had.
Yeah.
And I didn't think twice about it. I just went and got them.
Mm.
Put them into the computer and off I went. And I thought, oh shit, you know. Maybe I'm just doing an imitation of it.
Mm.
But I mean, the end result
is totally
completely different.
So with Say, for example, how did that start? How did you start working with that? What was the first sound?
Well, the first sound was the piano.
So you actually just sort of found that old piece?
It was written a couple of years ago.
Mm.
But I actually had that piece, and I decided I wanted to use a piece of music.
Mm.
And I...
But did you not start with... We talked about this before and I can't actually remember the sequence, but...
No, I started with the piano sounds.
Did you?
And single notes. Thank you. And then I put ambient recordings with the single notes. After that, then I used the Tretyakov material.
Yep.
Quite long descriptions
yep.
of things. And
of the icons.
Yes, and we decided that didn't work. It was too specific. And that's when I used Dance for Your Daddy. Then I started thinking about say, how I'd used, you know, various representational sounds. Sound of the train, the sound of the plane, the sound of clapping, the sound of voice talking in English, the sound of voice talking in another language, the sound of ambient recordings that were recognisable as being from the real world.
And the song.
The sound of the song, Dance for Your Daddy, and also the sound of the piano and a real musical instrument. Thank you. thought, oh, well, I've done exactly the same thing. I've put all these things together. I don't really know what the Russians are actually saying. I haven't got any idea of precisely what the translation of the words is. And I put those sounds together without any reference to what they specifically mean, both the verbal sounds, but also the other representational sounds.
But were you using those Russian voices, for example, as content or just as sort of like a sound?
Well, obviously, what I was doing was I was using them in a reduced way. In other words, I was using them purely for their sound.
So that's actually quite a straightforward, sort of choreographic, internal ear, internal sense way of going about things.
Yes.
Now the other is the sort of very personal sort of life that has informed some of the other works.
Yeah, but then there's also, I mean, there's the big piano notes which happen about five times and carry the piece through. But when they happen, there's also this white noise that decays at exactly the same rate. You know, it's like a white noise ghost that comes with the piano, and that's very important because it's not just a big piano note. It's got this other element with it.
So when you started actually working on that piece, you didn't actually have an idea, you just started loading stuff into the computer, basically.
Yes, and then I made a deliberate decision just to use the repertoire of sounds that I was familiar with. So I went for the drum sound again that I've been using a lot. I went to the Coraline recordings and used the sounds of me moving around a room. Mm. I used some of the door sounds from Coraline. Mm. I was completely unashamedly just used the repertoire of sounds as they occurred to me. You know, I thought, oh, this will work here. And so I would just go to the sound, I knew where it was, and use it.
Mm.
And not thinking, I shouldn't use that because I've used it before in another piece or anything like that.
Do you actually think also, apart from all sorts of other personal things that may or may not be happening, but just the fact of that whole way of that technology, the way you work, it's so different to say maybe putting things through the old analog system. You know, now you actually end up with catalogues of material and you can just go to a file and pull it out and then... Because, you know, with the little alien, was there another self-app maybe? That was sort of a new way of working, wasn't it? Working and making like almost complete chunks that were neither the beginning or the end. They could be either.
Yeah. Oh, I think I've always worked like that. Always worked from the inside out. And nothing's changed in that direction. Even with a work documentary work like The Quarter, there was all sorts of problems about which came where and what. I've always just grabbed a bit, put another bit with it, like it or don't like it,
and
keep that or chuck that out, and slowly things. And there's that whole period when I've got all these bits and pieces lying around, and where the hell they go, you know?
And it settles down.
And then I'll put one with that.
That hasn't been away since you started working on computers. Did you do that in an analog way too?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I can do it much more with computers though. And with much more control, so that the detail of change and the rate of change and the synchronicity of things is so much more controllable with automation and so forth in a digital domain than it ever was before.
So there wasn't actually an idea as such. It wasn't working from a sound world.
Absolutely.
Is that different for you? We'll talk about electric.
Self-hapt was completely like that too.
What about it starts off with material you've recorded, like the Irish stuff, where obviously you had an idea you'd want to record
The Quarter was about the trip to Ireland, and that was a very documentary type piece. It was a more narrative kind type piece. So I walked and walked, and I came to this new area, this new housing area. And there were these semi-detached houses. Could have been from anywhere. Sort of things I'd seen mile after mile of.
and some of the new urban areas in London, and actually very similar to state housing areas in Lower Hutt in the 50s. And I particularly noticed the footpath, which was poured concrete slabs, exactly like the footpaths when I was a kid.
So if you think about a work like Tense Text, where does that sit in the scheme of things? Well, was that just purely because that interview was done and it was material, rather like it could have been The Train or anything, and it started off at...
I think it was done... I think there are probably all sorts of reasons. You know, there was the whole business of the Lita Barry episode, you know, and I sort of felt that I was being, I don't know, I think there are all kinds of, who knows what was behind it, but there was a feeling of, that I was being hoodwinked by you or something, you know, and...
Hoodwinked, what do you mean?
Well, sort of tricked in some way. And...
Especially you mean when she interviewed you?
No, when I listened to the tapes of the interviews.
You felt you were being misled by her questions, or?
Yeah, I felt I was being, I felt I was misleading myself, but also,
You mean to fulfil the questions she wanted the way she wanted?
Yeah, the way they were being cast was in a particular way. I really didn't, and I was responding, because she was interviewing me in the first place, you know, it made me feel important, you know, and there was all sorts of elements which just pushed me in a particular direction. And then, the process, I mean, the technical problem of making Tense Text was enormous. I mean, actually getting that texture to work, using purely analog, it was a completely analog piece.
When he's talking about
hell of a difficult
the way in which the interviewee is talking, you know, he says he's really terribly tragic. It feels like a put down to me. It does to me too. I must say it.
He's the other person.
It's almost as though he's throwing off. And almost patronising the way in which that the person was talking. It didn't sound.
Can you stop the tape for a minute?
As though.
Yeah, sure. What's bothering you?
I'd like to know the he. Now he, when he says he's almost throwing off, let's just go back and listen again. Almost patronising the way in which that. The person was talking. It didn't sound as though he was overdoing it to me. I wonder if we could just go back and listen to that again.
Yeah, okay.
Divorced and separated off.
This is the original tape, right? Yeah, that's right. This is the original one.
Because the thing that you do as a man often is separate from your living experience. Mm. And I think.
But what do you want us to say about this? Well, I want you to look at. The things that are being said by the people discussing the tape, and give me your opinion about them.
Stop the tape.
That's the interpretation, and now we're going to get the response, right? Yeah, hopefully we will.
That's the first one.
The first what? What does it mean?
That's the first one.
Well, let's just listen a bit longer.
The thing that you do as a man often is separate from your living experience.
There he goes. That's the first one. That's the first hesitation he's talking about.
Separate from your living experience.
That's...
And,
is that what he was referring to before?
There he goes again.
I think it is. Hang on. Let's go back. The
thing that you do as a man often...
Further back still. About here.
That's right. Well, that's what the person says it. What I...
Which person? The other person discussing the interview earlier on.
That's right. Well, that's what the person says it is. What I want you to say is whether you think it is or not.
He's asking him whether he thinks it's patronising.
You know, it's patronising.
Well, how can he know whether it is or not?
You know, it's patronising.
He's asking him whether it's patronising. Listen again.
Comment.
Listen, it's perfectly clear.
You know, it's patronising.
That's right. Well, that's what the person says it is. What I want you to say is whether you think it
is or not. See?
Well,
he says
no, not necessarily.
There he goes. What about the patronising? Let's listen for the patronising.
Well,
there he goes. That's the first thing. That's the first hesitation he's talking about.
No, they're talking about hesitation.
They're talking about the living bit.
Doesn't sound the put down.
Hang on. Don't go back. Wasn't that in response?
We want to listen to the living.
Go back.
Go back to that. Wasn't that in the response to the statement? No, what's most not further back still? The other get the other. We need to go back. We need to go back.
That's right. Well, that's what the person says it.
He's asking him whether he's patronising it.
Yeah, obviously, that's what he's doing.
Stop the tape. Will you just stop the tape? Just let the tape run. Just let it run.
Let it run.
No, we need to listen to the living room. There's the hesitation.
Let the tape run. Let it run.
No. The hesitation isn't important at all. What we need to be listening to is the interpretation. It's the interpretation that the commentator made. That's the important thing.
Will you let the tape run? Just let it stop the tape.
We'll have to go back and listen again.